Let me ask you a few questions this morning. Do you ever feel like your anger might be getting out of control? Do you have trouble calming down when you get angry? How do you express those feelings? If anger is a common emotion in life, chances are you're causing undue harm to yourself and others. Do you ever feel really angry and unable to let something go? We had a couple of gentlemen that were featured on the news the last couple of days, neighbors, who got into a battle over $200 that one owed to the other. And obviously this had been going on for quite a period of time. And in the last couple of days, it really escalated to the point where they both threw iced tea on each other and then got into their automobiles and started driving around, and the one rammed into the other one, and then one got out with a gun and shot the other one. Now, the one neighbor who owed the money has died. So now the chances of that man getting back his $200 will never happen. And the man who shot him is now going to jail. Anger. It's out of control. We see it going on more and more. We see it in road rage, much like this. Do you feel that you are continually on the brink or on the edge? When your anger lasts for extended periods of time, it becomes more difficult to cope with little aggravations in your life, and it becomes harder to de-stress. This can affect everyday activities like work, play, or relaxation. It can be hard to focus on tasks and accomplish projects, and it honestly can make people not want to work alongside of you. You ever had to work with an angry person? Wow. It's just spills out upon you. Anger also causes feelings like guilt, remorse, and shame, especially if you generally act out in ways that you will later regret. If you're angry and constantly stressed, it's also likely that you'll feel unable to let loose and just have fun, which is important for your mental well-being. Excessive anger puts your physical well-being at risk. In the short term, it can cause headaches, migraines, chest pains, aches, and more. And over the long term, anger issues can put you at risk for hypertension, high blood pressure, depression, and cardiovascular issues. You know the saying, laughter is contagious? The same holds true with anger. Your anger can affect not only you, but the people in your life as well. It casts a negative feeling on those around you. Your anger can cause people to feel put off, upset, intimidated, afraid, or just a number of unpleasant emotions. Besides, you're also running the risk of pushing loved ones out of your life for good. Do you lash out at others when you're angry? Whether this is emotionally, physically, or both, it can have an extremely negative effect on the other's well-being. My wife did almost the unforgivable sin last night. I know. You think that she is such a saint. But I was watching the third quarter of the ASU USC game, and ASU had just kicked off, or had just punted to USC. And my wife decides to go channel surfing. Exactly. And so I was propped up in my electric resting chair. I looked over at this woman who I thought loved me. I put my chair down just quietly. I'm like, you know what? I'm not gonna sin. And I got up and I went over to the bedroom and slammed the door and turned on the TV in the bedroom. And much to her chagrin, as she was out in the living room going, "Honey, you can watch the game out here," I was ignoring her. Oh, I was so angry. I mean, come on. ASU, USC, and did you see the end of the game? Woo-hoo! Right? A Hail Mary. And ASU beat USC. Fortunately, I got over my anger. And I got to see it on my big TV in the living room as my wife was... Solving conflict with anger, yelling, and violence just sets an unhealthy precedent in a relationship because it ignores the need for open, honest, and trusting communications. Last night, my wife and I were not having open, honest, trusting communication. I was perturbed. And afterwards, after sitting there watching the game for a while, I finally got calmed down, and I said, "What am I so upset over?" Quiet in the peanut gallery over there. And it says, "Sharon, come on." Because it was a game. It was an important game. I don't have anybody playing on that team, but after all. Anger triggers the body's fight or flight response, as does fear, excitement, and anxiety. The adrenal glands flood the body with stress hormones, such as adrenaline or cortisol. And the brain shunts blood away from the gut and the brain in many instances. I'm not saying which area it got shunted from last night. However, it redirects the blood towards muscles in preparation for physical exertion, heart rate, blood pressure, and respiratory increase. The body temperature rises and skin begins to perspire. This constant flood of stress chemicals and associated metabolic changes go with reoccurring anger can eventually cause harm to many different systems of the body. And while this may sound like a television PSA, public service announcement for those of you that don't understand, for a new drug, possibly with side effects, the impact that your anger issues can have on your life are real and they are far-reaching. Many people express their anger in inappropriate and harmful ways, including anger explosions. Some people have very little control over their anger and they tend to explode into rages. Raging anger may lead to physical abuse or violence. A person who doesn't control their temper can isolate themselves from family and friends. Some people who fly into rages, get this, they just might have low self-esteem and use their anger as a way to manipulate others and to feel powerful. There's also another inappropriate and harmful way to express anger, and that's anger repression. Some people consider that anger is an inappropriate or bad emotion and choose to suppress it. However, bottled up anger often turns into depression, into stomach problems and anxiety and sleepless nights. Some people vent their bottled anger in very inappropriate behaviors and at innocent people, such as road rage, mass shootings, damaging property, children, or even kicking the dog. Here's some suggestions on how to express your anger in healthy ways. If you feel out of control, put your lounge chair down. Walk away from the situation temporarily until you cool down. Recognize and accept that anger is a normal part of life. It's not abnormal to have anger at times. But try to pinpoint the exact reasons why you feel angry, which is what I did while I was watching the game alone in the bedroom. It's like, really? I slammed the door. I shut off communication with my wife, all because she went channel surfing during a nonsense football game. Yeah, there you go, Sharon. During a nonsense football game, you feel uplifted now? Okay. Once you identify the problem, consider coming up with different strategies on how to remedy the situation. I went back out to the living room. I took control of the remote. And I made sure I had football on every channel that she could ever hit. ASU, USC, oh yeah. Michigan and Nebraska, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. She was going to get pukey about football after I got done. Or there's another remedy. Do something physical, such as go for a run. Go for a ride. Hit a punching bag. Or, as today's message is entitled, walk it off. Walk it off is the title of the message. Long introduction. It's going to be a short message. Here we go. Colossians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. Paul is writing to this Colossian church, and obviously there are some attitudes that he knows is indicative of every human life, and that is that we have anger issues at times. But it's how we deal with the anger issues that makes a difference. What does he say? He says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. I really loved the last portion of that scripture passage. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. It is not your parents in a moment of passion that created, it is God who created you just for this time and this history of life. He created you for a special purpose, for His purposes. And that's what our lives, when we go about this journey of life, we find out, Jesus Christ has died for my sins. So what do I owe Him? I owe Him all of my life. He gave all of His life. I owe Him all of mine. And so your first fill-in, when the decision to be a Christ walker is reached, then life behaviors must align with that decision. When the decision to be a Christ walker is reached, then life behaviors must align with that decision. I remember back when I was a young lad in my early 20s, not quite knowing what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life, as many of us did not at that point in time. And fortunately, I had fallen into some really wonderful graces of God, and He allowed with my weird name to be hired by the Phoenix Fire Department as a minority. I am definitely a minority. When the chief asked how to pronounce my name, and I said, it's easy, Tijima. And he goes, and what is that? And I go, well, it becomes easier if you think like Japanese. Don Tijima, Don Tijima. And he goes, that's it. You're my first white Chinese, Japanese guy I'm hiring. And I was like, wow, okay, whatever gets me on the job. And so, like I said, God had plans for me, knowing that as I worked that career and then later as he called me out of that career to come into ministry, as I look back now, I see how God had prepared all of that for me. Because now I could come to this church at its very beginnings 15 years ago today. And in my interview for becoming the pastor of this church, of course, the logical questions come out of, well, what do you think my salary might be for me coming and being your senior pastor? And I had a very surly gentleman look across the table at me and say, we will pay you what you're worth. We have no money. You remember Bud, right? You remember Bud. I remember Bud. I did not feel a lot of love in that statement. However, I knew that God would provide, and he did in miraculous ways. And I was a missionary pastor here for 2 years, meaning that all of my support came from outside of this church until we had grown to the place where the church could actually support and pay a pastor, even though it was a part-time salary amount at that time, and is still not a great amount. I am not in it for the money. I am in it for the reward at the end of life. When I am hoping, as many of you are hoping, to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, when I got hired on as a fireman, I had absolutely no idea I was going to be a fireman. And yet, I said, okay, I'm going to try to be the best fireman that I could be. And I studied to show myself approved, because fighting fire and being in that field is a very dangerous occupation. And in fact, at that time, it was the number two death-occurring occupation that a person could walk into, underground mining being number one, and I still think it is. And even though they say that it's dangerous to fish the waters up in Alaska, being a fireman is a dangerous occupation. And so you have to know how to operate as a fireman. And so I couldn't call myself a fireman unless my behaviors aligned with that decision. The same goes with being a Christ follower. If I make a decision to follow after Christ, then my life must align with that decision. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 says, what? What does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? Let me ask you, how many of you think that, you know, once entertained the idea that you could do life yourself? That you could be proficient enough at it that you could finally make your course through life? Well, I once foolishly thought that way as well. And it wasn't until I finally gave up control of my life to what God had for me that I really started to understand the blessings of God. When I gave him complete control. You know, it's kind of like, what's Carrie Underwood's song? Jesus, take the wheel. Right? Because as I would follow life, I would crash here and there. And I'd go, wow. Okay, it doesn't mean that once you become a Christian, you won't crash every once in a while. But guess what? You dust yourself off and you get back up and you go, okay, God, I learned from that one. And we don't go back to that same crash site and keep crashing over and over and over, right? That's not repentance. That's just a repetitive, hey, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord. And God's going, I already forgave you that. When are you going to stop doing that, though? You know, there's a point in time where we have to learn the lesson and no longer go back and keep asking forgiveness over and over and over for that stuff. There's got to be a point when we finally say, you know what, God? You're right. I keep messing up on this point. Let me stop and examine my life and make decisions to follow after you. Because after all, that's what Deuteronomy says, right? What does the Lord, your God, ask of you? But to fear the Lord. That fear means to give him all of your trust. Fear the Lord, your God. Walk in his ways, not your ways. Because as Proverbs says, our ways are not his ways, neither are his thoughts our thoughts. His ways are much higher than our ways, right? But to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I don't know what your occupations of each and every person. I know a lot of you are retired. Guess what? You're not done working for God. You may have walked away from an occupation, but the walk of God is a forever walk until you walk into the pearly gates. Okay? It is not a cruise ship into heaven. You are still called to do a work. And you older Christians, you older believers, you need to saddle yourself up alongside of a younger believer. Someone who's new in this faith walk, and help to encourage them and build them up in the knowledge that you've had for years. After all, you don't really know what you know until you start to show someone else. So if you're retired, if you're without an occupation, get involved with doing something for God. Disciple another individual. Amen? Fill in number two. Undesired behaviors are broken through positive carrots received for walking in right behaviors. How do you get a stubborn horse to pull your carriage? Well, in the old days, they used to have this stick that would hang out there and a string that held a carrot. And the horse would see that carrot, right? And it would want that carrot. And so it would walk forward trying to get to that carrot. At the end of the travel, the smart owner gave that horse the carrot. But all along the way, the only thing that the horse could see was this carrot dangling in front of him. What carrots are you dangling in front of your eyes that you're following after? Are they good, positive carrots? Or are they carrots of this world? Because this world will try to dangle some carrots in front of you and get you off of the plan that God has for your life. And the only way you can tell if the carrot that's in front of you is godly or not is to ask your Father. Father, is this from you? If so, I am going to pursue it. If not, then give me the right carrot. Right? That's how undesired behaviors are broken, through positive carrots received for walking in right behaviors. Don't you love it when you make a good decision and everything in the world just all of a sudden seems, ah, oh, I did it. I did something right for a change, right? Yeah, I'll have them figure that out. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, when everything seems to work together, you know, just right, you feel so good, don't you? I mean, there's no shame in that. In fact, many times when that sort of thing happens, what do? You tell somebody else about it. Wow, what kind of a day do you have? I had such a great day. Everything fell in line. I felt so good about everything that happened. Oh, there might have been a couple of glitches as I was going along. However, I finished the task. I beat this sin that kept beating up on me. I finally became a victor over that which was trying to claim victory over me. The only thing that has victory over you is Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for you that you might walk in victory, not walk in defeat. Amen? So why do we beat ourselves up with negative thoughts and attitudes? That I'm just never good enough for God? You know what? None of us are going to never be good enough for God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that determines us good enough as children of God. Amen? There's a new adoption. We've got to be adopted into the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is no longer the blood of humanity that runs through our veins. Instead, it is spiritual blood. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 16. Read this with me, please. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you. When will God bless you? When he sees that you walk in his way, that you keep his commands, decrees, and laws, that you live and you increase. You increase your knowledge of him. You live to glorify and exalt his name. Amen? So, what are the commands? You might ask that question. And kids, it is so simple that even kids get this. Two commands that Jesus gave us. And that in the keeping of these two commands, you will keep all of the law. You will keep all of the prophet's words. And Jesus said, these are the two commands that I need you to follow. If you are going to be a Christ walker, you need to follow these commands. Number one, love God with everything you are. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Every thought belongs to him. Your heart belongs to him. Everything, every part of your being belongs to God. Love God with everything you are. First command. Second command, love others. Well, God, the loving you is kind of an easy kind of a thing. You know, I mean, after all, you've done a lot for me. I can see the benefits of that. I mean, after all, I've heard the stories that, you know, there's an eternity with you, that if I walk in your ways and if I just love you, I'm going to seek eternity. But, wow, that second one, whew, you're really testing me. I got to love others. I got to love others as I love myself. And I had to walk that out with God personally. I was like, okay, so God, help me to understand what loving others as I love myself means. And you know what God impressed upon me? He says, Don, do you like the fact that you have this eternal hope? that you've been saved from an eternal death. I go, yeah, God, those are really awesome things. I really love those promises of you that of yours that have never been broken. Lord, if you say it, you never break your promise, and I will attain these things if only I believe. And God goes, mm-hmm, that's right, my son. And those things are important to you, right? Oh, yeah. Then you love yourself magnanimously. You love yourself more than anything else if you will grasp those truths that I've laid out for you. And if you love yourself that much, well, shouldn't that be just as important to Suzanne to experience? Shouldn't that be just as important for Kim to know about? For Justin? For Kay? For Faye? For Ken? For everyone here, and not only the people in this building, but the people outside of this building. And in fact, this afternoon at Tim's Toyota Center, there is going to be an evangelistic harvest outreach service. It starts at 4 o'clock. The speaker is going to be Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie has been in ministry for 40 years, talking to people about the Lord that he loves with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just as I've been doing for the 15 years that I've been pastor of this church. I've been telling you about the love of God. There's going to be an event where Christians and unbelievers, and hopefully some unbelievers, will be meeting together at Tim's Toyota Center today. It's free. There is absolutely no cost except your time to go to Tim's Toyota Center and exalt the name of the Lord together. And to see some lives, possibly, make the same decision that you have made to give their lives over to the rule of Jesus Christ. Pray for it. Pray for those that you can talk to about it. And be there yourself to support it. I know I'm going to be. Suzanne's going, oh, that's what our afternoon plans are, huh? And I thought we were going to fight over the TV remote again. Not. Proverbs 2, verses 7, this should be just verse 7. This is an important truth for each and every one of us to know. God holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. Walk it off. Walk off the old ways that you used to live, and walk in the renewed nature as you renew yourself in the knowledge of your Creator and become like Him. As you walk along, this is your last fill-in, as you walk along sowing, so you will reap. As I went off in my angry tirade last night, I thought that I was the only person that I was affecting, and yet my wife became angry at my outburst. You see how my anger affected her, her thoughts, her emotions, and even her actions as she threw the remote control. No, I'm just... She goes, your dogs are missing you. Not that I'm missing you, but... Your dogs are missing you, and they're all over me. Would you please come out and take your dogs? You know? She did say that, honestly. I'm not making that up. But my anger affected my wife. And she became perturbed that I would act like such a jerk. But it's all, the possibilities are there for each and every one of us to be jerks, right? As you walk about sowing, you see, I was sowing seeds of anger, and so I reaped anger back at me. Right? So if I sow anger at other people, I am going to receive anger. And yet, that's not what God tells us to be sowing. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 8 says what? Come on, read it all together with me. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So, what are you sowing? What kind of seeds are you spreading out there as you walk along in life? Are you spreading the seeds of the good news of Jesus Christ? That God loves you and that Jesus is blessing you? Are you sowing those seeds? Because those are the seeds that are the fruit of the Spirit. You see, our nature wants to sow out certain types of seeds. But when we become Christ walkers, when we walk away from our old ways of living and we become more like our Creator as we walk in His ways, then we start sowing different seeds. We start sowing the seeds of the Spirit of God, love. If I give love, what am I going to receive? If I sow love, I'm going to receive what? I'm going to reap love. If I sow joy, what am I going to get? Joy. Because after all, we know that statement, laughter is contagious, right? If you sow joy, you're going to receive joy. If you sow peace, what are you going to receive? Peace. But if you sow disharmony and you sow anger, you sow judgment, you sow the things that follow after your own natural devices, what are you going to reap? The things of this world. And they're going to come at you hard. Whereas if you sow to the Spirit, you will receive from the Spirit. Baptism candidates, if you are ready. If not, go and ready yourselves. It is so unique today because what we're going to celebrate this morning is a family committing themselves to God. An entire family. Well, except for Mom. She's too righteous for it. I'm just playing, Tanya. I'm just playing. Tanya has already been baptized. But the Doty family, Leroy, his daughter, Mary Lou, and his granddaughter slash daughter are going to commit their lives before you as a church. But more importantly, unto God. They're saying, today is a day that I'm dedicating myself. And from this day forward, I've drawn a line in the sand. From this day forward, all of my history will be about walking together with my Lord. I'm committing myself to Him. Maybe you didn't see the announcement in the bulletin, and it's something that you might want to also take part of. It doesn't have to be today. Guess what? We have a baptismal, and we can fill it and heat it any time. Yes, the water's heated. It is not a jacuzzi, unfortunately, because I would love to use that sometime. But we can fill that baptism anytime that you feel that you want to complete your commitment unto God as these three are today. So, pray for them as they get ready. And I've met with each and every one of them prior to this to make sure that they understood what this decision is all about. And it has just been entered into prayerfully. It's been considered biblically. And this is just something that Leroy, Mary Lou, and Kyra want to do today before us all. So if I can have that Doty family come on up. If you have cameras or camera phones, get them ready, because I'd like pictures of this posted on our Facebook. Woohoo! On our Mountain Valley Facebook page. And Leroy, I think it's really important for the father to guide his family. So, step on over.
Ooh, it's cold.
No, it isn't. Now, come on down to the end. Take hold of the edges. Have a seat. Isn't that nice and warm? It's as warm as my personality, huh? We asked Leroy on a questionnaire, when did he commit his life to Christ? And his answer was in 2003. And were there any events about his commitment that he'd like to share? And he said, absolutely not. You know, but how long has he been coming to Mountain Valley? And his answer was for 4 years. And how did he happen to come here and attend this church? Well, he was meeting here with another church on Sunday afternoons. And when that church, after a year, decided not to be a church anymore, Leroy and his family ended up joining us. And his special scripture passage that has helped him along the way is John 3:16 and Matthew 7:3. You know Matthew 7:3 off your head? No, okay. So we won't ask you to, you know, memorize that and say that for us. But anyway, other than this new commitment, is there any specific way that the church can pray for you? And Leroy's answer to that was to put more faith in the human race. Wow. Jesus answered that question for us by giving us more faith. He went to a cross. We have to die to ourselves as well, Leroy. That's how we put more faith in the human race. You know, is because Christ died for them all. So what's his plan for discipleship and his new commitment? Well, he wants to help spread the word to non-believers. That's a wonderful pursuit, my friend. And I pray that by the power of God's Spirit that you will endeavor to do those things and be very successful in it. Leroy, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you submerged into death, raised to life. Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah, you can get out now. There's a little step down in there, and then the one that you're dripping over. You got it all right? It took a lot of convincing with Leroy. He was a holdout for a long time, you know. So other pastors have tried to get him in one of these dunk tanks, and I praise God that I had the special ability to do that for him. Thank you, Leroy. Mary Lou. Mm-hmm. Now his pride and joy, his daughter. Have a seat. When did she commit her life to Christ? Well, January of this year. And were there any events about your commitment that you'd like to share? She said, well, going to jail really opened up her eyes to the fact that her life was not going the way that God would plan it. And she wanted to start walking in God's ways. How long has she been attending Mountain Valley Church of God? She says a year and a half. I'll take the half. No. Hey. And how did you happen to attend here and decide this was your church? Well, her parents came here first, and then she did, and she fell in love with the church and with God, most importantly. Does she have a special scripture passage? And it's this scripture that we've been going over today, Colossians 3, verses 5 to 10, that today she hopes to become a new creation in Christ Jesus, dedicating her life to the Lord. Would you like to share anything about your life before baptism? She said, absolutely not. Not understanding that, you know what? Look at all these people out here, Mary Lou. Look at them. They're out here. These people are sinners just like you used to be. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But they have all, like you, professed now Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And they're here not to look down upon you or to judge you, but to instead encourage you in your new walk and your commitment to God. Amen? Other than this new commitment, is there any specific way the church can pray for you? Well, she can't think of any, but I certainly can. Because we know that Satan hates these types of decisions and these commitments. And we know that each and every day there will be a battle. But God does not leave us alone. Instead, He gives us spiritual armor to wear. So I would encourage you to look up the scriptures that talk about the spiritual armor that God has equipped you with. And every day, adorn yourself with every one of those pieces. What's her plan for discipleship and her new commitment to God? Well, she's going to start a mentoring program. She didn't know that yet. I just decided that for her. But this is a young girl, folks, that needs to have a gentle grandmother type around her, a spiritual grandmother, to come alongside of her and help her in her walk. Yeah, she's got a mom and a dad that love her very much, but all of us know that sometimes our parents can be a little too close to us. Amen? And it just helps to have an older, wiser, spiritual woman to help encourage you in your walk with Christ. And so Mary Lou's going to start that process. Would you please be praying about ministering to Mary Lou and her new decision today? Mary Lou, it's with such great joy that I now baptize you into death and raise you to life everlasting in a commitment to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is your completer. He is all you need, Mary Lou. And you have him today in your commitment. You are raised to life, a new life. Amen. See, if it was really that cold, they couldn't sit in there that long. All right, Kyra. Now Mary Lou's pride and joy. Her firstborn, Kyra. Isn't this exciting? To have a father and grandfather be able to witness. This very special commitment of his, not only his daughter, but his granddaughter to the Lord. And you think that Kyra might be too young, but when asked, when did she commit her life to the Lord? She says, from birth. Woohoo! Right? So, as young as she is, there haven't been any real significant events that have brought her to this decision. But she's been coming to this church for about 4 years with her grandparents. And did she have a special scripture passage that has helped her? And she goes, well, pretty much all those scriptures that are from cover to cover are helping me throughout my life. And though I haven't read it all yet, that's going to be my endeavor in my life, is to read it and to follow it. Would you like to share anything about your life before your baptism? And she says, only that I love God. And was there any specific way that the church can pray for her? And that would be that God would guide her through her life that she dedicates to Him today. And what's her plan for discipleship and her new commitment to God? To learn about Him and to stand up for what she believes in. Ah, Kyra, it is with great pleasure that I now baptize you unto death and raised to life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is such an awesome day. We've had three pretty awesome weeks here in this church, haven't we? My wife was asking me just the other day, she goes, man, after these three great weeks that we've been having, what's next? I go, hang on, we'll see what God wants to do. Amen? God bless each and every one of you for being witness to these baptisms, for being here today. May your lives be enriched. God bless you.